pleasant Sabbath to you today. My wife and the rest of my family, they're all ill, but she sends her greetings to all of you. Kenneth Alfred Ham, he was born on October 20th, 1951, and he's an Australian Christian fundamentalist. He believes in creation, and he is an apologist, which means he explains how to speak for Christianity and for believers when people oppose it. He earned a bachelor's degree in applied science with an emphasis on environmental biology. In 1977, he began teaching high school in Brisbane. That's a city in Australia. And he began to have some difficulties when kids in school started believing that evolution in the science books meant that the Bible was not true. It caused such a conflict in him that he resigned from teaching public school in Australia. He moved to the United States and began a ministry teaching in creationism. Because of that, he's been disinvited from many events to speak. In February 2018, the University of Central Oklahoma disinvited him to speak after a group of LGBTQ students objected to him speaking. Later that month, they re-invited him after counter-protests. In March of 2011, the board of the Great Homeschool Convention disinvited him because the president made a statement that the book of Genesis was symbolic and not literal. So he accused him of saying that he was espousing liberal theology, and he undermined the authority of God. So the homeschool group said, no, we can't have you saying that because Christianity, everyone should be allowed to have a diverse opinion or diverse interpretation of the Bible. So he was disinvited there as well. Chris Mooney of Slate Magazine believes that Ham's advocacy of creationism will, quote, undermine science education and science literacy in the U.S. Wow. So why am I talking about Ken Ham? Well, you might know him if you ever went to the Creation Museum in Kentucky, or the replica of Noah's Ark that he built down there. So he has spent his ministry trying to advocate and promote the idea that God really did create the earth and everything in it in 7 days. So why am I talking about Dr. Ham? He has 6 honorary PhDs from Liberty University and a bunch of other Christian schools. Well, the subject of my message today is be a fool for Christ. Be a fool for Christ. The word fool is mentioned 360 times in the Old and New Testament. So who exactly is a fool? Well, That depends on who you ask. But I'm going to start in the book of Proverbs. See, the preface to the book of Proverbs tells you that it's a book for wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But we're talking about being a fool. Let's look at three other verses in Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 9, it says, "Do not speak to fools, for they will scorn prudent words." In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10, it says, "A rebuke impresses a discerning person more than 100 lashes for a fool." Ouch. I think this one, Proverbs 20, verse 3, is probably the mindset of many in the church, which it's in the Bible, so it's valid. It says, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it says, "It is to one's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." So in those three verses, it doesn't just say don't be a fool. It says even dealing with fools is a waste of time. They won't listen to what you say. You can give them 100 lashes, it won't matter. So those are Proverbs. I'll give you a proverb of Arthur Sandy. That was my dad. But you've probably heard this. He would say, "Don't argue with a fool. They'll bring you down to their level, and then they'll beat you with experience. But I am going to tell you something different today. I'm going to give you three principles . Let's start in Proverbs 26, and we're going to read 1 through 5. It's a whole lot of wisdom, but I also think it's a whole lot of funny. It says, "Like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow or darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. A whip for a horse, a bridle for a donkey, and a rod for the back of fools." And then it says this one, which is similar to everything else that I read. It says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him." I think the church is really good at following all of that advice. We ignore the fools. It's a waste of time. And we don't want to be like them, right? Who wants to be a fool? But I just told you, be a fool for the Messiah. And I'm going to give you three biblical points that I'm going to back up in Scripture. The first one, point one, is love a fool. What? Love a fool? That's the first point. The second point is confront a fool. What? It just said, you know, don't answer a fool. But the most important point is point three. Don't be a fool. Okay, so we're going to talk about loving a fool, confronting a fool, but not being a fool. When you go to verse 5, it says something that I think, because of all the other verses, people are afraid to walk in this one. Verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes." And can I tell you something? In America, in 2020, we have so much foolishness going on because everybody was afraid to answer the fools. It didn't just happen that we have women swimming in men's sports. Men swimming in women's sports, you're right. So let's talk about that. Let's watch scripturally how these things happen and why we have an obligation to answer these fools. I think part of the reason we don't is because of fear. And the other part of the reason, it's true. When you answer the fools, in some cases, you are just like them. But that's okay. I'm not that prideful. I will hop out of my suit and I will jump in the mud right with you. What does that look like? What does that look like? You know, we drop down in that verse and it just continues. In verse 11, it says, "As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly." Because no one says, "Hey, you know what? You might not want to do that." Fools cannot be left to their own devices. It's not just bad for them. It's bad for the church. It's bad for the country. 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years to the date, I took a long plane ride to Hancock, Michigan. It's up in the north. Because one of my major clients got purchased by another company. And one of the first things they wanted to do is give us diversity training. So I'm going to tell you how that diversity training went. Come on now. Okay, when I make real jokes, sometimes y'all don't laugh and y'all chuckling already. Okay, so, topic. We had to learn how to be more inclusive of non-binary, gender-neutral, and trans people in our spaces. Now, to my knowledge, we didn't have any in the company. So, as part of an exercise, we had to learn to implement non-binary language and pronouns in your vocabulary. Now, we're talking about billion-dollar organization. And they just spent millions and millions and millions of dollars to acquire us, and that was one of the first things they wanted to do. But it's not just in the private sector. I travel a lot, well, I used to in the old world. Travel a lot to seminars all over the country. And that was a big corporate focus. My friends who work in the government space, that was a big focus. So learning to speak differently, learning to see things differently. This is what you need to know about gender. This is actually how I was going to start my sermon as a tease, but some of y'all don't know me well enough and might have believed it, so I'm like... Sometimes I make life difficult enough for Aaron, but this is what they want you to know. Gender isn't binary. Gender exists along a wide spectrum, a spectrum that includes non-binary, trans, also various gender-neutral or third-gender people. The queer gender, gender fluid, gender flux, gender, genderless, agender, bigender, trigender, two-spirit, agender, gray gender, etc. We exist somewhere along a beautiful sub-ocean in between with no desire for a more concrete definition. I dropped out of college, so maybe I'm not smart enough to figure out what that was. I can't count past two. So, let's go over to Romans 1:18-31. Romans 1:18-31. It says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature," some places say Godhead, "have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so that all people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and foolish, and their hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fooled, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desire to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the things created rather than the Creator, who is forever to be praised." You know, I used to read this. I used to read this and think, "Wow. Wow, this is getting bad. This is getting bad." But when we read Romans and we see all of that foolishness going on, that's not the starting point. See, many times you read it and you think that's the no. That's the end result of a lot of things that didn't go right. That's the end result of the church not standing in the gap. That's the end result of people not wanting to be embarrassed. That's the end result of people not wanting to be fools. So we took the advice. We weren't like the fools. No, let those foolish people do that. But the foolishness multiplies. The foolishness spreads. The foolishness infiltrates. And you have the end result. January 19th, 2021. President-elect Joe Biden announced Tuesday that he will nominate Rachel Levine, Pennsylvania's top health official, as his assistant secretary of health. Levine, a pediatrician, would become the first openly transgender federal official to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. Healthcare, okay. So how do we, what are we supposed to do, right? You said a lot, some of it you already knew, like we have this whole mess on our hands. What can we do? Well, the first thing is to love a fool. Love a fool. You can't have a conversation with someone you don't love or you don't show love to. Like, that must be, let me ask you something. How hard do you think it was for Yeshua to come down here for 33 and a half years and deal with y'all?
You too.
Exactly. You think that was easy? He left and he came down. Here? Whew, okay. But he loved us. Oh, wait, but we're wise, right? We never do anything foolish, not us. You know, we read those stories about him walking around with the 12 and just some of the things they would say and do. That had to be irritating. And on top of that, you had the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the priests, and the people. I mean, come on now, be real. When you read the Bible, they don't seem especially bright, do they? I mean, do they? No. I mean, everything he tells them, it's like, he will say things plainly like, I have come here to die. I mean, he told them that. They didn't get it. And the Messiah, he loves us. He's moved on us, changed us, saved some of us from death. So if he can love you, you can love a fool. And in 2020, you got plenty of opportunities. I was driving my car here. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 29. And this is about loving a fool, being a fool. And we're going to see the Apostle Paul talk about that in his ministry. He starts it, and it says, I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you. I said 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 11, 1 to 29.
11?
Yeah, 11. Chapter 11, verse 1. Just waiting for everybody to catch up. Okay. So he starts telling them that he's asking them to put up with a little foolishness. In verse 3, he says, but I'm afraid, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches another Jesus, than they have. Other than the Jesus or Yeshua that we preach, or if you received a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you once accepted, you put up with it easily enough. In verse 5, he says, I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be an untrained speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I need. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. He's talking about his ministry. He's saying to them, you know what? I've been a fool for you. And we'll see that theme. He's going to continue to say that. I'm going to lower myself. When I'm here preaching, other churches are supporting me. You know, missionaries do that. They do. They go to places that can't afford to support them. And they are fully entitled to support. The workman is worth his hire. But we get churches or groups that are financially able to support them so the missionaries can go and help people who need it, people who aren't able. And sometimes that's a totally different standard of living than you might be used to here in the U.S. Ever use an outhouse? Get your drinking water from catchments on the roof when it rains? So he's saying, listen, I didn't carry myself as one of those super apostles, not because I can't or I'm not entitled to it, but I'm lowering myself in order to elevate you. Now, this isn't just for the church in our dealings with the world. See, that's the easy part. I can make LGBT jokes all day and get laughs. But right here, he's talking about lowering himself and being foolish in the church. Why is that? Why is that? See, in the church, I remember growing up, and everyone wore their Sabbath best. And it was amazing in this church. We only had like perfect families, man. Like everyone was always smiling and happy and no arguments. And you might have a prayer request for this little thing over here or that little thing, but never anything big because no one had serious sin issues they're working with or working through. If you had a family before or a child before you got married or a divorce or something like that, it didn't exist when you walked through them doors. It's like, what? We're not going to talk about that. What? What does lowering yourself mean? I remember our second year in Iowa. We hosted 4 or 5 feasts in Iowa. When I had to speak, and part of my message, I told the audience that I had a porn problem, a problem with pornography. I'm trying to figure out, was it quieter then when I said that? Or is it quieter now? I don't know. I think it might have been quieter there. I think so. It was a lot more people there. That was a big year. We had, that was what, a 400? It was standing room only in a pretty large hall. Because the church don't talk about that. No, we don't. Because we can't be a fool, right? We can't have issues. But we need to. Because if I can't tell you about how I beat it, or how hard it is, or how it's a struggle, or how you always need to be on guard, because you could think you beat it for 3 years straight, and then it's like, whoa, I wasn't even trying. Yeah. But we're not fools. Mm-mm. You know what else we're not? We're not relevant to the things that are going on in people's lives. Not. That's why our kids come, grow up, and leave. Or the ones who stay in church, we raise them to be good Sunday keepers. Because no one wants to get down in the mud and say, hey, stop that. That's foolishness. That's silly. Oh, what? I don't know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm sorry. I've been coming here since my oldest daughter was a baby. And this is not the first time I've seen this church filled with bright, young, energetic people. Lots of young people, lots of teens, lots of kids. Am I lying, Aaron? No. But when those young people are going through issues, are we just the perfect church with no issues? Or do they have people they feel they can talk to? Do they have someone like Paul who says, you know what? I will lower myself so that I can elevate you. To know that you're not in this struggle alone. That the gospel is relevant. It's not just about, oh, he's coming back and the barley means this, and the palm needs that, means that, and we have to wait for this over here, and this sign means this, and this, these are the rules for the Sabbath. That's good. I mean, I'm here. I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying be relevant. Don't be afraid to be foolish. Don't be afraid to love somebody who is a fool, who is going through issues. I could chose a lot of things. I chose porn. Do you know why this church has a porn problem? Can I tell you something? Just about every church has a porn problem. No, like seriously, they polled preachers. That's where I get my data from. They pull preachers. Oh, and trust me, I'm ready, out of the closet. So I know what I'm talking about. It's not for judging. It's to make sure that people who have that issue know that they're loved and they can request prayers and we can beat this. But if there's no love, there's always that fear. And then it doesn't get helped. It just gets swept under the rug and we don't grow. But for some reason, churches still like the super perfect preachers. Okay. In verse 12, Paul says, I will continue doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground out from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things that they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles for Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, that his servants also masquerade as agents of righteousness. So in verse 16, he's going to switch it up and he's going to say, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. So this is when I switch from loving a fool to confronting. You have to. You can love for someone for who they are. You can love someone with their faults and still say to that person, you need to work on that. Not hit them over the head, or you no good. No. You can love and confront. Billy, I love you, but I think you've had one too many beers. You know, Billy, alcohol might not be okay for you. Not judging you, I'm just saying, man. I mean, for real. How many times are you going to slip, fall, and crack your head, Billy? I love you. In verse 17, it says, in this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I will boast too. Because let me tell you about something. When those people are out in the world being foolish, we put up with them, don't we? Because you don't want to lose your job. You don't want to lose your friends. You don't want to be in awkward situations. Because, I mean, it's to a place now where your livelihood can get threatened. Your education can get threatened. In verse 19, he says, you gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you. I think the church does that. It absolutely does. It's funny to me. The whole church. Oh, I'm so upset about the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm so upset about I'm so upset about this in the NFL. I'm so upset about that on Netflix. And y'all still watch it and still subscribe. We're a Christian nation. We could shut them down real quick. I mean, just don't watch. Don't subscribe. What will I do? I don't know. Work on our marriages, our parenting skills, our relationship with each other. What will we do? Okay. So Paul here is talking about putting in work. as a fool. Isn't that what he says over and over again? I'll do this as a fool. I'll do that as a fool. So he's loving the fools. In chapter 12, he's going to say it again. I like how he puts it in verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. He says, I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. You made me do it. Yes. Dealing with some of these hard-headed people, yes. You took me there. There was no other way to reach you. I ought to have been commended by you, for am I not in the least, I'm sorry, I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles, even though I am nothing. I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. But the point was, he said, listen, I can't get through to you guys. I showed you my authenticity. But it's no wonder Yeshua couldn't get through them either, and he did the signs and he did the miracles. I want you to think about this, right? The high priest with his soldiers. They're like, yeah, let's go get that false prophet. Let's go get that false prophet. So they go get the false prophet. Peter swings and he chops off the ear. Okay. And he was like, here, let me heal that. Cool, thank you. Let's get that false prophet. Let's get that false prophet. I'm not exaggerating. That's what happened. So yes, you have to be fools to reach these people because they are blind. God does not care about your dignity. Yeshua died in one of the most shameful ways to die. The work is sometimes foolish. Let's talk about confronting a fool. Guess where I'm going to go so you don't have any doubt about how foolish you might have to be. We're going to go to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1. Let's check out his ministry. Now, Hosea's ministry was a 60-year ministry. It tells us in chapter 1, the reign of the kings. So we have an idea. We're going to start in verse 2. You know, sometimes you want God to talk to you. It says, In Hosea 1, chapter 2, when the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, go and marry a promiscuous woman and have children with her. For like an adulterous wife, this land is guilty of unfaithfulness to the Lord. In some translations, it says prostitute. Wait. So when God began speaking to you, that's what he said? What? Imagine laying on your bed, you know, you're working hard to get a good relationship with the Lord, and God is finally talking to you. And he says that? Come again, Lord, that's not you. But he was obedient. Now, I don't know, is there anybody in this room that thinks marrying a prostitute is wise? No. And God is telling you she's going to be cheating on you for your entire 60-year marriage. And that's why I'm having you marry her. What? What? Okay. So verse 3, so he married Gomer. Gomer. The daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. In verse 4 it says, call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel. In verse 6, she conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. Then the Lord said to Hosea, call her Laruha, which means not loved. Okay. In verse 8, Gomer had another son. The Lord said, call him Lo-Ami, which means not my people. That does not sound like a fun ministry. When you think about serving God, is that what you have in mind? Have a bunch of kids and give them names that'll get them talked about and teased? No. No. But he was confronting foolish behavior, and in his wisdom, that's how he chose to confront it. We can actually take heart in that story. Why? Because I don't know any other case of God asking anybody to do anything else like that. So we talked about loving. We saw Paul loving those people. We see Hosea here confronting them in what we would use by our standards as very foolish behavior. The last point, don't be a fool. That should be pretty easy for us, as long as we have the right perspective. And what do I mean by that? I've seen many young people, many older people in the church get wisdom, get knowledge, get degrees, and then lose all common sense. Like, seriously. In my family, we have so many PhDs. So many. And I'm not saying that because I'm bitter or jealous. I promise you I'm not. It's just, sometimes they're not the brightest people. It's just, what do I mean by don't be a fool? In 1 Corinthians 3:19, it says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. So my house is about a mile and a half away from a school called Cranbrook, which is supposed to be the best high school in this state. It's private. People spend lots and lots and lots of money to go to this school. So my niece, who attends there, was telling my daughter what they learned in school. And they were learning and focusing on gender-neutral pronouns. So she told me what she was learning. I said, what? You mean ladies and gentlemen? She said, no, babies and gentlethems. Wait, you mean ladies and gentlemen? Because no, babies and gentlemen. Okay, slow down. okay? Your expensive eighth grade education is beyond me. Ladies and gentlemen, no, babies and gentle thems. Oh. And you got to pay for that? Okay. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Why is it okay to be a fool for God? Because 1 Corinthians 1:25 says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of this world. Human wisdom cannot compare to the foolishness of God, so I'd rather be a fool for the Most High than wise by this world's standard. I'm trying to recruit some fools today because 1 Corinthians 1:27 tells me that God chose the foolish to shame the wise. So when we go back to that scenario in Romans that I started with, that wasn't the ending that I always thought it was. Said, oh wow, okay, you know what? That was the beginning. A lot started to get us to that point that we are now. So church, be relevant. Love some people. Imperfect people. We don't have to be always perfect, unapproachable, never been through anything. You know, the church was so bad, it wasn't that people didn't even talk about the mistakes they had now, right? That would be one thing. That's bad enough. But it's like they never had any mistakes. So this is me. I'm Pastor So-and-so. I am not just perfect because I'm a pastor now. I always was. So, love a fool. Confront the fool. But don't be a fool. Have you loved a fool today?